And when we hear, it will only be hearing. So when you hear this discourse, when you hear the sound of my voice, when you see the picture on the screen, or when you see the room around you, when you feel something, even when you think something, our meditation practice is to remember it for what it is. Remember that it's only seeing, only hearing, only feeling, only thinking. And so to do this, we base it on the four satipatthana. These are the categories of experience, the ways of setting up our mindfulness. So we can set it up on the body, watching the sitting posture of our body or the movements of the body when we breathe. Anapanasati. When the body moves based on the breath, or there is the sensation in the body based on the breath, the stomach rising, the stomach falling, the chest rising, the chest falling, the nose becoming cool or hot, and the feeling of the air coming out of the nose on the lip. All of these are kaya nupassana satipatthana, mindfulness of the body. We can focus on vedana, the feelings that we have. Maybe we feel happy to be here together, meditating, developing goodness, developing wholesomeness in our minds. Maybe we feel calm because we know that we're in a good group of people and we're safe because our minds are focused. Maybe we feel pain because of bad karma we have. We have to sit on the floor in such pain, sitting cross-legged because we, in this life, we haven't sat cross-legged before. So pain in our legs, pain in our back. Maybe we have pain in our minds because of bad things we've done or bad things other people have done to us. Then we can focus on the pain and remember that it's just pain, remember that it's just happiness, remember that it's just calm. When we feel this kind of feeling or that kind of feeling, we know there's this feeling. This is vedana nupassana satipatthana. Focusing on the various types of vedana that can arise, whether they be a happy feeling, a calm feeling, or a painful feeling. We can establish our mindfulness based on the mind. The mind is the part of our being that experiences. So the mind will think about the body, it will think about the feelings, it will think about what it sees, what it hears, what it smells, what it tastes, what it feels. Mostly the mind gives rise to thinking. So meditation is a kind of thinking, but it's the purification of our thought. Ordinarily, our thoughts go into judging, liking, disliking, identifying or making more of things than they really are. So we have many experiences, but as the Buddha said, ditte ditta matang bhavisati, we can't do this. When we see something, we can't keep it at just seeing. When we see something, suddenly it's a person or a place or a thing. It's good, it's bad, it's me, it's mine. It's many, many different things that don't really exist. What exists is really just seeing. So all of that thinking, this is called mindfulness of the mind. We have to see that that's just thinking. When we identify with things, when we recognize something as this or that, when we judge something as good or bad, all of this is just thinking. Whether it's good thoughts, bad thoughts, memories or planning about the future, it's all just thinking. We have to remember this, remind ourselves. We know it as just thinking. We can establish our mindfulness based on our emotions, the Dhamma, those mind states that are ethically charged, liking, disliking, frustration, sadness, boredom, worry, stress, fear, drowsiness, confusion, doubt. We can establish our mindfulness based on all of this. This is how we practice meditation. This is the meditation of the Buddha. The Buddha called it the Ekayana Magga, the one way, or the way that leads in one direction, or the way that is specific to the Buddha. Because meditation is found in many different religious traditions, but only in the teaching of the Buddha do you find the four satipatthana. So let's go through this. We'll do it guided. I'll try to guide as little as possible and just let everyone practice meditation, but we'll go through these four and explain how we practice them. Most of you are already familiar, or should be familiar, with the technique, as we use this mantra. But we shouldn't be confused that the mantra is something special. A mantra is, and always has been, just a word. That is a tool that we use to focus the mind. If we don't use the mantra, then our mind is free to think many different things. But the mantra is a specific thought that purifies our thought. When we see something, we only think about it seeing. We remind ourselves, this is seeing. And as a result, the mind is clearly aware of the experience as seeing. The idea of me or mine or good or bad has no room because the mind is full. The thought is full, is perfect. This is called sampajanya. The mind is fully aware, or fully knowing the object fully and completely. So we use this word. It's not magic or something where if you say it many, many times you become enlightened. But it's a practice that trains the mind to just know things for what they are. Otherwise, very difficult to know things as they are, because we're so accustomed to judging. The Buddha called this papancha. We like to make more of things than they actually are, not knowing that it's just what it is. Even when you're angry or frustrated, or when you want something, that it's just wanting, it's just anger. They're just emotions. They're just, we call sabhava dhamma, which means existential phenomena. They just exist. The mantra helps us to see this. So let's practice together. We start with the body. You can focus on the sitting posture. And what that means is the feelings of tension in the back, which is the wind element, the vayu dhatu. You can focus on the hardness of the floor or the softness of the floor, which is the patuvi dhatu, the earth element. So you can say to yourself, sitting, sitting, just being aware of these sensations. If you feel some sensation, like a hard or soft, you can say feeling, feeling. Just reminding yourself it is what it is. It's just a feeling. You don't have to say to yourself patuvi or earth or vayu or air or so on. The Buddha didn't recommend this. He said, when you're sitting, you know I'm sitting. Nisi no va nisi no miti pajanati. When sitting, they know I'm sitting. So you see, the word is not so important. The word is just to remind us of the essential nature of the experience. Because when you say sitting, you automatically become aware of the vayu dhatu, the air element, and the patavi dhatu. It will come by itself. You don't have to think about it, which dhatu is this. You become aware of the sitting posture, you become aware of the kaya, you become aware of rupa. It will come by itself. All you have to do is say to yourself, sitting, sitting, as the Buddha instructed. You can focus on the breath, so when you breathe in, you say, rising when the stomach rises, falling when the stomach falls. This is mindfulness, this is anapanasati, mindfulness of the breath. Because in a relaxed body, for a relaxed person, the breath will come through the stomach. Most people don't understand this. They're confused about the stomach because they don't feel it. But that's really only because we're not meditating. We're not relaxed in the body. If you practice this and you train in this, you'll find eventually your mind lets go. And you become back like a little baby that breathes through its stomach. If it's difficult in the beginning because of the stress in the body, you can put your hands on your stomach. This is important because we want to become to a relaxed state. And if you train in the stomach, your body will relax because you'll be able to see the tension that's stopping you from breathing naturally. So the breath instead is in the chest, or in not even rising or falling because of the tension. But you can focus at the nose as well. When you feel the sensations in the body, you can, in the nose or in the lip, you can say feeling, feeling. And try that together now. Right away we'll find that in the beginning the mind can stay with the body, but very quickly it becomes distracted by other things. And this is why we have many different categories, or we have four different satipatthana. So when we feel pain, then we start to focus on the pain, or when we feel happy, we should focus on the happiness. We can move, like the Buddha said, moving from the mind will move from one object to another like a monkey going from one tree to another. And the Buddha said if a hunter wants to shoot a monkey in the tree, they just watch the monkey go back and forth between these four trees. And so they can see it when it jumps from this tree to the next tree. They just have to be ready, and when they see it going to jump, they shoot it just as it lands in the next tree. The Buddha used this simile to talk about the four foundations of mindfulness. We don't have to focus just on one of the satipatthana. When the mind goes, the mind is the monkey. When the mind jumps to the next satipatthana, then we have to go to that satipatthana. So when we feel pain, we say to ourselves, pain, pain. When we feel happy, we say happy, happy. When we feel calm, we say calm, calm. And you can stay with that object until it disappears. When it's gone, just come back again to the body. When the mind starts to think, we can go to the third satipatthana, focusing on the mind. This is where the mind watches the mind. At the moment of thinking, we can't be mindful, but after the thought arises and ceases, then there's the awareness of the thought, the realization, I just had a thought. So it's at that moment that we apply mindfulness. Say to ourselves, thinking, thinking, right when we know we just had a thought. Because the point is to keep the mind just knowing. This stops the mind from judging, stops all of the, if you study the Abhidhamma, it stops the javana. When there is the deciding mind, we simply decide this is thinking. And then the javana come and they're just pure, just knowing. No karma is created. No liking, no disliking, only thinking. Sometimes you can't catch the thought, so you'll be thinking for a long time, and then when the thought is finished, then you know. Sometimes you'll catch the thought halfway, in mid-stride, when you're in the middle of thinking. Sometimes you'll just catch the thought when it arises. But either way, whenever you catch the thought, whenever you know that just now you were thinking, you should remind yourself, thinking, thinking, so that your mind stays clear that that was just thinking. Not me, not mine, not good, not bad. And if you continue with this, you'll find you're able to catch your thinking much quicker than before. And eventually you can catch the thoughts just when they arise. And finally, number four, we can focus on the Nivarana, or the ethically charged mind states, the emotions, those things which will upset and disturb our mind. Liking or wanting, disliking or anger, frustration, boredom, fear, sadness. Fatigue or drowsiness, distraction, worry, restlessness, doubt, confusion. All of these we can focus on. We should focus on. We should be very careful to remind ourselves about. When we like something, we shouldn't see it as a reason to chase after things. It should be clear that this is just a mind state. Just something that has arisen. When we like, we should say liking. When we want, say wanting. When we dislike, say disliking, or frustrated, or bored, or sad, or depressed. Without judging it, just being aware of the experience. When we feel drowsy, tired, or the mind is heavy, you can say tired, or drowsy. When we feel distracted or worried, we can say distracted, or worried, when the mind is not focused. When we have doubt or confusion, we can say doubting, confused. And through this way, we'll find that these mind states are slowly reduced. And if we're patient and persevering, the mind will quiet down and calm down, and we'll begin to see the first fruit of the practice, which is peace and happiness. Ditta dhamma sukha viharaya. The meditation is for the purpose of finding happiness in the here and now. We'll be able to see this. Once our mind becomes focused and calm through the meditation, we'll find that we're much more sensitive to the world around us. Our senses become more heightened. So it's easy to get caught up in sights and sounds and smells and tastes that we may not have even been aware of before. Sometimes when people are sitting in meditation, they begin to see things. Some people see lights, some people see colors. Some will just see images, visions of past memories or people, or even things they've never seen before. So here's where we can understand the Buddha's teaching, Titte Ditta Matang Bhavisati. When we see these things, it should just be seeing. So we remind ourselves in the same way as everything else, seeing, 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 just knowing that this is seeing. When we hear sounds outside or in the room around us, even when you hear the sound of my voice, you can say hearing, 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 and you'll see it arising and ceasing as well. When you smell or when you taste or when you feel something in the body, you do the same thing, say seeing, say smelling, smelling, or tasting, tasting, feeling, feeling. And when there's nothing else to be mindful of, just come back again to the body, because the body is always there. And watching the breath, the stomach rising and falling, or the feeling at the tip of the nose, or the feelings in the body when you're sitting. And just say with the stomach rising, falling, or with the nose, say feeling, feeling. Or with the body, say sitting, sitting. Or feeling, feeling, in as it is. Okay, before we quit, we can make a wish, make an adhidhana, determination. Through the power of our practice, may we come to understand and to realize the truth of the Buddha's teaching. May we be free from suffering. May we find peace and happiness and wisdom. We can make a wish for all the people around us in this room, in this place, in this world. Wishing the same fruit of our practice. May they attain this fruit as well. And if anyone has any questions, you're welcome to ask now. Otherwise, thank you all for coming. And I hope you can see in our video that we have a whole room full of people here today who are also listening. Well, the best is to sit still and to try to deal with the experiences that make you want to move.
If it becomes very, very painful, and then I just, I cannot do anything, you know, like my heart starts to beat faster, cannot do anything, but I mean, I tried, I was determined not to move, but eventually I gave up.
Yeah, that wasn't the whole of my answer. The it's best not to move and to focus on the pain and to focus on the disliking of the pain, but eventually, especially in the beginning, it will get to the point where you can't do that anymore. So when it gets to the point where you have to move, it's really not such a big problem, because you can be mindful as you move. So when you move your body, just be mindful, wanting to move, and then you can move slowly, moving. So it can be a mindfulness exercise as well. This way it won't break up your meditation. You can also be aware of the change in the feelings that arise. So as you move, you can be aware of the disliking that is in there and then disappears when you move, and so on. So it's not against the rules to move. The best thing is to try not to move and to try to be mindful and to see through the desire to move, wanting, and so on. But when you have to move, just move mindfully. It's not breaking any rules, and it's not going to harm your meditation. Eventually, you want to try to get to it earlier on, so that you don't have to move. That's all. Yeah, just be patient with it.
First one is that you mentioned when you're sitting, we can experience the vayu dhatu, the wind element. So what I can feel is the patavi, the when you are sitting, you see the patavi dhatu. Patavi, how do you, where do I feel the wind element or the vayu dhatu?
First of all, just to be clear, that we're not looking for the elements. I'm not saying that's what you're doing, but just so no one gets the wrong impression, we're not trying to pick it apart and see this is the vayu, this is the patavi, and so on. It's not necessary, because it will change. At some times you'll be clear, you'll see the patavi dhatu. Sometimes you'll see the vayu dhatu. So we're trying to see this natural change. So we don't need to pick one or the other. The vayu dhatu refers to the pressure. So if you're sitting up straight, you'll feel a pressure in your lower back. It can even become painful after a while if the pressure becomes intense. But there will be a pressure. There can also be a pressure if you're sitting in a chair. You'll feel the pressure against the chair along with the patavi dhatu, which is the hardness. And most obviously, there's the vayu dhatu is in the stomach. This is as the Buddha said, the winds in the stomach. So when the stomach rises, there's a tension there. You can feel it tensing up, expanding like a balloon. And when the stomach falls, then there's less vayu dhatu. There's the vayu dhatu becomes decreased, and you can feel the flaccidity or the lack of tension. You can also feel it in your shoulders sometimes. You'll feel tension in your shoulders if you're stressed out. You can also feel it in your head when you have a headache. And part of the headache is the tension that arises in the head. There's various places. When you're sitting cross-legged, the tension in the legs, in the joints, by being in a stretched position, that's also vayu dhatu. If you sit in the full lotus, there's an intense feeling of vayu dhatu, which is the tension of sitting in that position. There's also tejo dhatu, the heat, which I didn't mention. Sometimes you'll feel hot, sometimes you'll feel cold. This is both tejo dhatu, fire element. So when you feel hot, you can say hot, hot, or just feeling. When you feel cold, you can say cold, cold. Or also just feeling.
So the next question is that, can you say something about the four protective meditations, how helpful is that in our practice?
For sure, this is an important subject. Because satipatthana is something that is like a, and it's like a tree that we need to grow, no? Our mindfulness, our good qualities of mind have to grow like a tree. And when the tree is still small, it needs some protection against the elements. It needs some support so that it can grow. And our meditation is the same. If we just practice satipatthana, it can be quite difficult. So the four protective kamatanas are very helpful for protecting our main kamatana, our main meditation. And they have different uses. So, for instance, mindfulness of the Buddha to give us faith when we have doubts. The point is not to have faith in the Buddha, but to have faith in what we're doing. When we think of the Buddha and how what he went through, what he had to go through, and when we think of his teachings and how wise he must have been to come up with those teachings, when we think about the good things that he's done and the love and the compassion that he had for beings in teaching this, it gives us great faith and confidence in what we're doing. So for people who have a lot of doubt, that can be useful. Loving kindness, when we have anger or so on, then we practice loving kindness, gets rid of our anger. When we have lust or attachment to the body, attachment to sensuality, then we focus on the asubha. And that allows us to see that the body is actually something that is not full of diamonds and jewels and gold and sugar and spice and all things nice. It's actually quite organic, and there's nothing special about it at all. allows us to let go of this attachment to it as something beautiful or something special. And marana nusati, when we have negligence, when we're being lazy and getting caught up in life and in helping other people, well, in a worldly sense, in doing things in the world and getting caught up in activities and pursuits in the world, building this, building that, creating this, creating that, learning this, learning that. And then we think about death, it gives us sangvega, it gives us this sense of urgency that is necessary for the meditation. The more we think about death, the more we realize that everything else is meaningless. Everything we pursue, everything we try to develop in the world, in the end it comes to naught because we have to give it up and move on. The only thing we bring with us is our purity and our impurity, our punya and our papa, our good and our kusala and akusala. So you can see that each one serves a different purpose, and for sure each one of them is quite helpful. These are things we should think about. It would be wrong of us to pick one of them and to develop it as our main meditation without concern for insight or satipatthana or development of wisdom, but they certainly can help us, and they can even be a great base for the future practice of satipatthana. Okay, thank you. Wish you all the best. Blessings.